Janus Films. Slowly moving closer to an old mottled grey photograph of a large country house. A clearer posed photograph of about 30 pupils sitting outside with their teachers. Then more photos of pupils working at their desks. Most of the children featured are around 10 years old. A blurred picture shows them sitting in rows at long tables in a high-ceilinged hall. Moving upwards towards the arched wooden beams of the ceiling. A photograph of boys singing in a choir in a chapel. Lewis Allen and Dana Hodgden present. Peter Brook's film of Lord of the Flies. From the novel by William Golding. A photograph of cricketers playing in whites while spectators sit around the field in deck chairs. Suddenly interspersed are still black and white images of large missiles pointed at an angle towards the sky. Then a huge vertical rocket attached to its support scaffolding. Another photograph shows the sky filled with squadrons of planes and Big Ben at 5 o'clock. Written on a blackboard, the word evacuation, with times and instructions beneath it. Then another picture of smiling young boys in caps, one of them holding a picture of an aeroplane. More photographs of planes flying in formation, taken from above and below. Another photo looking up at a cloudy, dramatic sky at night. One big black cloud obscures other lighter ones behind it. Moving across the photograph, the sky becomes darker and more ominous. Slowly, it fades into a map showing the west coast of North America and the vast Pacific Ocean. Moving slowly over the map and some very small islands, then a photograph of the wing of a plane taken from a window. Switching fast between the wing and the plane's body, then a flash of lightning, an explosion, falling debris and a spinning aeroplane. A photograph of a plane floating in the sea with a tropical island behind it, then wind ravaging palm trees and waves. Produced by Lewis Allen. Directed by Peter Brook. A boy about 10 years old, in a school uniform with shorts and a cap, makes his way through hostile jungle undergrowth and comes out in a clearing. He looks around, then a smaller, overweight boy with glasses joins him.
Hey!
Ouch!
Hey, wait for me. I can't hardly move with all these creeper things.
Them other kids must have got scattered in the dark. We ought to go and find them.
The two boys start running through the palm trees. The first one trips and lands on a bed of long, dried-out fronds. The second boy in glasses does the same, but stands up and looks down at the first.
My auntie told me not to run on account of my asthma.
Asthma?
that's right. I was the only boy in my school that had asthma.
He swats a fly on his face.
And I've been wearing specs since I was three.
The first, slightly taller boy stands up and walks on. The one in glasses follows him. They emerge from some thick, head-high plants and look around them. They're standing on a narrow, empty beach that curls round away from them to form one side of a bay. The two boys stand together, their arms hanging by their sides. Then the first, taller one leads the other down to the water. The tubby boy stands a few feet back from the shore, watching as the first one walks right up to the waves rolling in, but quickly retreats to avoid getting his shoes wet. A large bird takes off.
Where's the plane?
The storm must have dragged it out to sea. There must have been some kids still in it. Are there any grown-ups? Don't think so. What's your name?
Ralph.
I don't care what they call me, as long as they don't call me what they did at school.
What's that?
They used to call me Piggy.
Piggy?
As long as you don't tell the others.
They both start to undress.
Daddy's a commander in the Navy. One day, when he gets leave, he'll come and rescue us.
Ralph's practically stripped, but Piggy has trouble getting his hand through the sleeve of his thick cardigan. As Ralph runs into the water in his pants, Piggy takes off his shoes, struggles with his socks, then walks down towards the shore, still wearing his shorts, shirt and tie.
Aren't you coming in?
Oh, it's hot.
No, my auntie wouldn't let me. Can't have my asthma.
Sucks to your asthma.
You can't half swim well.
Ralph lounges in the shallow water. Now the two boys are dressed again and walking along the shore in the sunshine. The other arm of the bay curls round behind them, crowned with a line of palm trees.
Hey, look! It's a shell! I've seen one like it before on someone's back wall. A conch, he called it. He used to blow it and then his mum would come. He blew from down here.
A view of the beach from high up at one end of the bay. A third person, then a fourth and fifth, just tiny specks, run out of the tree line at the top of the beach to join them. They gather by the trees.
Percival Weems Madison, the Vicarage, Harcourt, St. Anthony. Telephone, Harcourt 241. What's your name?
George.
Two twins.
What's your name?
Sam and Eric.
Sam and Eric.
Sam and Eric.
The boys sit in a rough circle on the sand, while Ralph stands on the undulating trunk of a palm tree with his conch, looking out at the beach. Further down, a group of boys in long black cassocks that flow around their ankles walk towards them along the curving shoreline. The boys in school uniform that have already gathered stand and watch them approach. There are eight of them, six walking two abreast, led by one slightly taller boy with the last following. All wear the long black cassocks, black hats and white ruffles of choir boys. They turn and march off the beach, bearing in amongst the trees towards the others. The taller boy leading them stops and turns to face them.
Quiet! Halt! Where's the man with the trumpet?
There's no man with the trumpet. Only me.
Isn't there a man here?
No.
Then we'll have to look after ourselves.
We're having a meeting. Come and join us.
One of them faints. The school pupils all help to drag the stricken boy over to their group.
All right, let him alone.
But Mary, do.
He'll be all right. Simon's always throwing a feint. Now let's decide what we're going to do.
That's why Ralph made a meeting, so as we can decide what to do. We got most names. And those two, they're twins, Sam and Eric.
I'm Sam.
I'm Eric.
I'm Ralph.
And you?
Douglas.
Robin.
Yours?
Charles.
And what are all your names?
Henry.
Morris.
Robert.
Rupert.
They're sitting in a line.
Harold. Bill. Roger.
Simon's sitting up again.
Simon.
I'm Jack.
Then that boy there, he's...
You're talking too much. Shut up, Fatty.
His name's not Fatty. His real name's Piggy.
Piggy?
They all crowd around Piggy, who quickly moves away from them and stands by a palm tree, cleaning his glasses with a handkerchief. Jack and Ralph stand together.
We've got to decide about being rescued.
I think we ought to have a chief to decide things.
Yes, someone must take charge.
I ought to be chief. I'm Chief Chorister and head boy.
Let's have a vote.
All right, we'll have a vote. Who wants Jack for chief then?
The choir boys wait until Jack looks at them. Then they all put up their hands and Ralph counts them.
Who wants me?
All the other boys in uniform put their hands up while Jack surveys them coolly. Eventually, Piggy raises his hand as well.
I'm chief then.
The choir boys don't cheer.
Jack's in charge of the choir. What do you want them to be?
Hunters. Choir, take off your togs.
They all remove their black cassocks.
Hey, what are you wearing those funny clothes for?
It's our uniform.
Jack sticks a knife in the tree and glares at the boys. Ralph.
Listen, everybody. If this isn't an island, we might get rescued straight away. So we've got to decide if it is. Three of us will go on an expedition to find out. I'll go. And Jack. And... you. You all right now?
Blonde haired Simon.
I'll come.
He don't want you. Three's enough.
I was with him when he found the conch. I was with him before anyone else was.
Jack, Ralph, and Simon walk away, but Piggy follows them.
You can't come. You told them after what I said. After I said I didn't want.
What on earth are you talking about?
About being called Piggy. I said I didn't care as long as they didn't call me Piggy. And I said not to tell. And then you went and said straight out
better Piggy than Fatty. And anyway, I'm sorry if you feel like that. Go back, Piggy, and take names. That's your job. So long.
Piggy watches with a touch of pride as Ralph runs off after the other two. Piggy turns back to join the group, who are starting to make their way onto the beach. Ralph, Jack and Simon have climbed to the top of one arm of the bay and stopped to watch the boys on the beach for a moment before carrying onwards. They have to make their way through thick vegetation. Ralph climbs a fruit tree and passes down some of the food. They walk through long grass, all eating the fruit. They spot a large boulder protruding from the hillside like a fingertip.
Hey, look!
They run up to it.
One, two, three.
It moves slightly, then falls down the slope into the dark trees. The three boys scramble up the rocky summit of the hill, a breeze blowing the long grasses that grow between the stones there. Ralph reaches the top first, then Jack, then Simon. They all stop to survey their surroundings. Below them lies the tree-covered coastline, then the sea with a few gentle breakers further out from shore. Beyond them, nothing but the wide open ocean stretching all the way to the horizon. The three boys make their way through thick jungle foliage, climbing over tree roots, walking under large high ferns, and surrounded by vines that cascade down from the trees. They stop and look down at a small pig that's just a few feet below them, nibbling on a plant. Ralph and Jack grin at each other, then Jack takes out his knife and reaches down to put the blade against the pig's neck. The small pig trots a short distance away. They watch it with disappointment, then carry on through the jungle. Simon spots a small, long-leaf plant growing on a thin tree trunk and goes over to inspect it, but as he pulls down one of the fronds, Jack hacks at it with his knife. Simon stares at him in surprise. Back at the camp, a hand reaches down to pick up the conch. The boys all sit in the scant shade of the palm trees and listen.
We're on an uninhabited island. We shall have to look after ourselves. But it's a good island. There's lots of fruit, water, and I'm pretty sure there aren't any dangerous animals. So things aren't so bad. None of us are hurt. There isn't any danger. And we can build shelters and be comfortable. So if we're sensible, if we do things properly, if we don't lose our head, we'll be all right.
But where will we sleep?
We'll build shelters.
We can have smashing fun.
And another thing, we can't have everybody talking at once. We shall have to put our hands up like you do at school. Then I'll give him the conch.
I agree with Ralph. Got to have rules and obey them. After all, we're not savages. We're English, and the English are best at everything. So I'll have lots of rules, and when anybody breaks them...
Piggy stands up with the conch.
Piggy, 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 Piggy!
You're not letting Ralph get to the most important thing. Who knows we're here? Nobody knows we're here. Perhaps they knew where we were going to. Perhaps not. But they don't know where we are now, because we never got there.
We might stay here till we die.
One of the smaller boys puts up his hand. He has a small toy aeroplane, which he places on the ground beside him, then slowly gets to his feet. He whispers in Piggy's ear.
you're going to do about the snake thing.
Tell us about the snake thing.
And again.
Now he says it was a beastie.
Beastie?
A snake thing. Ever so big. He saw it.
When?
The children watch intently.
When he was hiding in the jungle in the dark. He says when the rain stopped, it turned into one of them things like ropes in the trees and hung in the branches. He says, will it come back tonight?
They all wait, then Ralph stands up.
But there isn't a beastie. I tell you, there isn't a beast.
Ralph's right, of course. There isn't a snake thing. But if there was, we'd hunt and kill it.
There's another thing. If a ship comes near the island, they may not notice us. So we must make smoke on top of the mountain. We must make a fire.
Come on, follow me!
Yeah, come on, let's go now!
Ralph and Piggy stay behind.
Just like kids. Like a crowd of kids.
Piggy cleans his glasses and Ralph walks off.
I bet it's gone tea time.
The boys have collected lots of wood for the fire and throw a thick branch on top of it. Piggy wanders up with the conch.
Anybody got any matches?
Everyone turns to look at him.
My, what a big cumulus mate!
Piggy specs, come on!
They swamp Piggy and grab his glasses, led by Jack, who uses them to make fire by holding them up so the sun shines through them onto the wood.
Get out of the light!
Roger, come on over here.
Standing alone, Piggy puts his cap on and rubs his eyes. A flame burns on a twig beneath the glasses. Ralph puts them back on him.
Ralph, I'll split up my choir, my hunters that is, and we'll be responsible for keeping the fire going. Yay! We'll make a big blaze now. It'll last all night.
Everyone gathers wood.
Can you give us a hand, will you?
They throw more and more onto the bonfire. Thick smoke drifts off the hilltop, watched by one of the boys holding a stick. Jack's bare-chested now, and using his knife to slice the top off a tough oval fruit. He pierces the flesh, sits back and drinks its juice. Another bare-chested boy is stalking through the jungle with a long sharpened stick. He turns and pounces on a covered area, but finds nothing. Then he looks up to the treetops and listens before continuing. At the fire.
Attention!
The two boys on watch stand to attention, their long sticks held upright on the ground in front of them like guns. Then the two new arrivals take their places. At the camp. The boys are building a shelter by making a solid frame out of wood and covering it with palm fronds. Piggy's helping and wiping the sand off his hands on his shirt. Some boys lie in the shade next to a small store of fruit, while two more joust with palm fronds on the beach. A few play in the sea while others are racing crabs. They pick them up and start them off in a little hollow of sand, while some of the boys play fight in the water. A child's finger taps the nose of a small lizard, and it shuts its gaping jaws. The finger strokes the lizard's nose, and the jaws open again. It's Simon sitting on his own and holding a gecko in his hand. When it jumps onto his shirt and starts crawling over his shoulder, he strokes its back. And when it leaps onto his face but drops off again, Simon picks it up, unperturbed. From high up, the view down through the trees to a rough path which a small black pig is walking along. The hunters are dotted around the path with their spears, some standing, some crouching. Jack waits in a tree above the path, looking down and waiting. When the pig comes out of the undergrowth, he throws his spear at it. All the others chase after it through the trees. They follow it through the tall grass with their spears raised. One boy falls, then another reaches the pig and pummels it with his stick. The other boys are swimming. Piggy sitting on a rock above them and looks up at the sky. Then he stands, searching eagerly. As the plane flies past, Ralph runs through the overgrown jungle and up to the hilltop. He scrambles up the rock, but there's no smoke coming from their fire, and he looks up into the empty sky.
Stop! Come back! Come back! Come back! Come back!
Simon runs up the rock to join him. Ralph goes over and angrily kicks at the charred logs of the burnt-out fire.
They've let the bloody fire out!
The rest of the boys reach the top. They all go to the edge to look down. They watch as Jack and his hunters make their way back below them, then up the hill. They're carrying the small black pig with its front and back legs tied over a pole.
Light it up again.
Jack crouches down to cut the twine that binds the pig's legs.
You should have been with us, Ralph. There was lots of blood. You should have seen it.
There was a plane. There was a plane! They might have seen us. We might have gone home.
Everyone stops suddenly, and Ralph glares round at them all. Piggy.
You and your blood, Jack, married you. You and your hunting, we might have gone home.
We needed meat.
You didn't ought to have let the fire go out.
Jack storms over and slaps him.
My specs!
Here. Here they are.
The left-hand lens is shattered. Piggy puts them back on and angrily picks out a piece of the broken glass, leaving about half of the lens over his left eye, cracked and slightly angled.
Just you wait!
That was a dirty trick.
All right, I'm sorry. About the fire, I mean. There. I apologize.
Light the fire, then.
Piggy watches as they all bundle wood into a pile.
Piggy.
No, Ralph, don't, please.
I'll bring them back.
Ralph takes his glasses again, leaving Piggy squinting. The pigs cooked in the embers, gutted but unskinned.
Well, it's well not these legs.
Give me a nice piece.
The choir boys eagerly pick at its cooked flesh. Jack licks his fingers, then gives Ralph a piece of meat, but not Piggy. Ralph glances at Piggy, but doesn't give him anything, leaving him to watch all the others as they eat ravenously. Piggy tries to ignore the others, waving his hand nonchalantly. One of the choir boys rubs a stripped bone between his teeth. Piggy looks up at Jack.
Aren't I having none?
You didn't hunt.
No more did Ralph, no more did Simon.
Simon offers Piggy his piece of meat, annoying Jack.
Eat, damn you!
He throws his bone down at Simon and storms off. One of the choir boys takes the black skin of the pig's face out from under his hat and holds it over his own face like a gruesome mask. The choir boys lead the chant, banging their sticks on the ground as the others join in.
Get down on the beach. We're calling an assembly.
On the beach, Jack sits hitting his stick with the blade of his knife. The boys watch Ralph.
Things are beginning to break up. I don't know why. It all began well. Then people started forgetting what really matters. The most important thing for all of us is getting rescued. So now let's discuss who does what. And when we have decided, we can start again. And be careful about things like the fire.
All right. So the fire went out. But we're hunters. We got you meat. And if there is a beast, it's my hunters who will protect you from it.
The choir boys all sit together in a line with their sticks, except Simon, who's on the sand with the other boys. A small lad stands up and takes the conch.
What's your name?
What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
The hunters bang their sticks in the sand.
What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
What's your name?
Percival Williams Madison, the vicarage, Harcourt, St. Anthony. Telephone. Telephone.
Ralph stands in front of the boy with his hands on his knees, waiting, but when Percival drops the conch and sits down again on the sand, he goes back to his place. One of the hunters jumps around Percival like a wild animal, then crouches in front of him and pulls faces, making him laugh. Suddenly, Jack puts a rough hand on Percival's shoulder and bends his ear to his mouth, listening. Jack stands up and walks into the centre of the group, leaving Percival to rub his shoulder.
What does he say?
He says there's a beast. It comes out of the sea.
Ralph looks nervously towards the ocean. The other boys follow his gaze, and Piggy stands up. Not far from shore, a black rock protrudes up from the water, and waves break around it.
My daddy said they hadn't found all the animals in the sea. My daddy said there are animals. What do you call them? They make ink, and are hundreds of feet long, and eat whales whole.
A squid can't come out of the water.
One boy stares out through dulled, slightly fearful eyes. The boy sitting next to him hesitates nervously before speaking.
Maybe he means it's some sort of ghost.
Maybe that's what the beast is, a ghost.
I don't believe in no ghosts, ever.
Who cares what you believe, fatty?
Simon's holding the conch.
Maybe there is a beast.
Get him! He's got the conch!
What I mean is, maybe it's only us. Nuts!
Now Ralph has the conch again.
We should have left all this till daylight. We're tired. We'll have a vote. On ghosts, I mean. And then go back to the shelters. Who thinks there may be ghosts?
The hunters, all sitting in a line, fidget a little, then raise their hands unanimously as one. The boys sitting on the sand also have their hands up.
I see.
I didn't vote for no ghosts. Remember that, all of you.
You shut up, you fat slug.
I got the conch.
Ow!
Jack, let him speak. He's got the conch.
And you shut up. Who are you anyway, just sitting there telling people what to do? You can't hunt, you can't sing.
I'm chief. I was chosen.
Why should choosing make any difference, telling people what to do?
Piggy's got the conch.
That's right. Favour Piggy as you always do.
Jack! The rules. You're breaking the rules.
Who cares?
Because the rules are the only thing we got.
Bollocks to the rules. We're strong. We hunt. As a beast, we'll hunt it down and beat and beat.
They run off along the beach in the fading light of dusk, watched by Ralph and Piggy.
What's Grown-Ups going to say? Look at her.
I think I ought to give up being chief.
You can't, Ralph. Not now. Blow the conch. You've got to be tough.
Make them do what you want.
Ralph holds it to his mouth but lowers it again.
If I blow the conch and they don't come back, then we've had it.
Darkness falls rapidly. Ralph sits down on the ground and Piggy sits beside him.
Are there ghosts, Piggy? Or beasts?
Of course there aren't.
Why not?
Because things wouldn't make sense. Houses and streets and TV, they wouldn't work.
But suppose they wouldn't make sense, not here on this island. Supposing things are watching us and waiting.
Go on, Bing Chief Ralph. Who's there?
Me.
Simon.
He sits between them.
I wish my auntie were here.
Oh, what's the use?
Grown-ups know things. They ain't afraid of the dark. They'd meet and have tea and discuss. Then things would be all right.
Dark clouds drift slowly across the evening sky, a full moon shining above them. In the morning, the twins, Sam and Eric, are sleeping beside the dying embers of the fire. Eric wakes, seeing that it's nearly gone out, and wakes his brother, who sleepily gets up and lays a leafy twig on it. He blows on the fire, fanning the flames, and thicker smoke starts to rise upwards again. While Sam lays more twigs, Eric suddenly stands and goes to look over the top of a nearby rock.
What's the matter?
Sam goes to join him, and they both peer over the top. The twins stare down at something, stunned, afraid, and a little disbelieving. Then they run back to the camp, where all the other boys gather round them to listen.
It was furry. There was something moving behind his head. Wings. It sort of sat up. It had eyes. Teeth. Claws. We ran as fast as we could. Bashed into things. The beast followed us. Nearly caught me.
You're not pulling our legs, are you?
We'll hunt it. Who'll come?
Me. Take
but those sticks, they're made of wood. Don't be so silly.
Frightened?
Of course I am. Who wouldn't be?
Come on, let's go.
Who'll mind the little ones?
Piggy will look after them.
That's right. Keep Piggy out of danger.
Haven't you got any sense? How can Piggy help with only one eye? Jack, is there anywhere on this island where you haven't been?
There's only... Of course! The tail end part, where the rocks pile up.
The group of 15 or so boys walks along the beach towards the far end of the bay. Piggy stands and watches them from the camp. Now the group approach from further down the beach as small figures walking along by the surf. Eventually, their path's blocked when they reach a mound of rocks that cover the sand right down to the shoreline. Jack and Ralph, leading the way, stop and look at them, then at each other. Ralph turns to face the group.
I'm chief. I'll go on alone. The rest of you, wait here and hide.
Ralph takes a step forward, then turns back to Jack.
Do you think...
I've been all over. It must be here.
He looks back at the rocks again, and Simon steps up beside him.
I don't believe in the beast.
I suppose not.
They watch as Ralph starts walking towards the large overhanging rock. He holds a long stick in both hands, his dirty shirt ripped right across his back, and holds torn in both the legs of his shorts. He climbs up onto the rocks, goes through a narrow crevice, then jumps down the other side. He stops to watch as some stones fall from the top, then makes his way cautiously over the harsh, jagged surface, stopping between each furtive step to look up at the ominous silhouette of rock above him. Ralph forges a path over the rough terrain, over boulders and stone. He spins round suddenly and finds Jack coming up behind him with his stick.
Couldn't let you do it on your own.
Ralph grins and they walk onwards, Ralph upright with his stick over his shoulder, ready to throw like a spear, and Jack in a slight crouch, his stick held in both hands. Jack, leading the way, stops and looks at something further on, then back at Ralph.
place for a fort.
They run down and over some sand beneath a low overhang of rock.
The beast isn't here. Let's get the others and go on to the top.
Oi!
Grey clouds cover the sun. Piggy's with the youngsters.
Now, this story is about the place where I live, called Camberley. Now, Camberley is quite an old place, but it hasn't been called Camberley all the time. It used to be called Cambridge Town. And they used to get mixed up with the letters between Cambridge or Cambridge Town. So letters that were to a person in Cambridge Town used to go to a person in Cambridge. So they got a bit mixed up, so they thought they'd change the name of the post office, because it was a post office that had all the trouble of sorting the letters. And they thought they'd leave the can from Cambridge Town, and Burr is a river, and there are a lot of rivers around there, Camber. And then Lee, because a lot of the towns near there ended with Lee. Their names ended with Lee, so they called it Camberley, Camberley. And that's the true story of Camberley.
The beast hunters, all carrying sticks, follow a narrow path upwards through tall, thick vegetation.
I don't think we should leave Piggy with the little ones, not all night. We mustn't let anything happen to Piggy, must we?
I think someone should go back and tell them we won't be back till after dark.
I'll go. I don't mind. Honestly.
They all watch without objection as Simon heads back down the hillside into the trees. In the fading light, the boys crouch down to fit under some low overhanging branches, then come out in open space near the top of the hill. They stop to look at a sheer rock face in the distance that forms the summit.
We'll go to the beach. We can go to the top tomorrow.
If you're frightened, of course.
All right, then who wants to go now? You see?
I'm going to climb the mountain to look for the beast. Now, coming?
I don't mind.
If you don't mind, of course.
Not at all. I think it's silly only two of us going. If we meet anything on the other side, two won't be enough.
Roger steps forward to stand with them.
All right, come along, Roger.
Now the three of them set off towards the base of the rock, leaving the others standing amongst the shadowy trees. It grows darker as they begin their ascent.
If you don't want to go on, I'll go myself.
Go on then. I'll wait here.
Ralph and Roger sit where they are while Jack starts to climb the rock on his own. Roger hits the ground with his stick.
Shut up.
Jack suddenly springs down and joins them. The boys further down the hill sit on the ground with their arms over their knees. As the light continues to fade, Jack, Ralph and Roger climb the rock face and reach the top.
Keep close to the ground.
Twigs lie scattered over the bare ground. Then the thick roots of a tree. The boys stop and peer at something ahead. Ralph and Jack side by side with their heads close together, Roger behind, looking over them. It's the pilot of a crashed plane, wearing a helmet with a tinted visor down, suspended from his snared parachute. When the corpse shifts, the boys sprint off back down the hill. Daytime back at the camp.
First, you know now we've seen the beast. We crawled up. We were only a few feet away. The beast sat up and looked at us.
I don't think we could fight a thing that size. Honestly, you know. We'd talk, but we couldn't fight a tiger. We'd hide. Even Jacket'd hide.
What about my hunters?
Boys armed with sticks.
All right, then. He's not a hunter. He'd never have got us meat. He's just given orders, expects people to obey for nothing. He's like Piggy. He says things like Piggy. He's not a proper chief. He's a coward. On top, when Roger and me went on, he stayed back.
I went too.
After.
I went on too, then I ran away.
So did you.
Call me a coward, then. All this talk.
All this talk, talk, talk.
Right. I'm not going to be part of Ralph's lot. I'm going off by myself to the rocks to hunt and have feasts and have fun. Anyone who wants can come, too.
Jack!
Ralph runs after him. While the boys watch from the camp, Ralph stands on the beach watching Jack walk away. Jack looks down at the sand, nervous but strong as he walks on his own. Ralph goes back to the camp and writes in the sand.
I said we could do without a certain person. Now I think we've got to decide. We can do without Jack Merridew. There's others besides him on this island. But now we really got a beast, though I can hardly believe it. We'll need to stay close to the platform. I've been talking, Ralph.
What?
We've got no fire from the mountain, but what's wrong with a fire down here?
That's a good idea. We can build it right here between the shelters.
I think we ought to climb the mountain.
What's the use?
Simon bows his head, struggling.
What else is there to do?
He stares down at the sand, out to sea, then back at the sand again, before shaking his head and swatting an insect on his neck. Jack's poised with his spear over his shoulder, ready to strike, but he's just practicing and throws it into some bushes. He angrily sharpens the point with his knife. A spear lands next to him, and he spins round to find Roger grinning down at him. He goes down to join Jack, both of them happy. A view down on the boys from high up as they crouch together amongst the foliage. At camp, the boys are building a new fire. Jack and Roger are sitting in the shade of a tree, idly throwing leaves in the air, with a third boy standing nearby, when a fourth joins them. The hunters mix a white paste, then a dark paste in the palm of their hands, and daub it on their faces. With tribal lines painted over their cheeks, Jack leads them on the hunt.
Come on.
He stalks away through the long grass. At the camp, a small bivouac made of leaves sits on the sand in front of the tree line. Simon looks up at the clouds over the hilltop where they found the beast and sets off towards it on his own. As wind blows the branches of trees, he makes his way along a narrow path up the hillside. Jack and his hunters are bare-chested and painted, crouching amongst the tall plants with their spears. On Jack's signal, they slowly emerge from their hiding places and creep after him, each of them carrying a long stick. They keep together, moving silently between the trees.
Now!
Jack leads them as they start running through the undergrowth, across ground that's grown over with foliage. They hurry onwards through the jungle, pushing plants aside. Suddenly, Jack stops, takes his weapon, and runs forward to strike. The others circle the pig with their spears held ready. Simon listens nearby and sadly lowers his head. With the dead pig.
Right up the arse!
Roger picks up his spear and notices the pig's blood on the end of it with pleasure and pride. Jack wipes blood over Morris's face as a joke. In a clearing.
Sharpen a stick at both ends.
Hands holding Jack's knife sharpen one end of a long stick to a point. Then it's pushed into the ground, standing upright. The top of the stick is also ominously sharp and menacing.
This head is for the beast. It's a gift.
The white pig's head sits on top of the stick. Ralph's with Piggy.
Can't they see? Don't they understand? Unless we keep the smoke burning, we'll die. What's wrong, Piggy? Why are things going wrong like they are?
I don't know, Ralph.
A vague clearing in the forest with the spiked pig's head in the foreground. Jack's tribe file past a dark gap in the wall of plants and trees at the back of the clearing. From the same direction they came in, a small figure moves through the undergrowth. It's Simon stepping out into the clearing. He stops when he sees the pig's head. Flies crawl over its snout and eyes and buzz around it. Simon walks across the clearing and sits down on the ground looking up at it. His expression remains intense but unmoved. The flies continue to crawl over the pig's snout and fur and dart around the head. Simon stares up at it without blinking. Close up, the flies move quickly over the lips of the pig's open mouth. Palm trees sway in a strong wind. A few of the boys on the beach are sitting around their fire.
Looks like we're going to have a lot of rain, all right.
What about the fire?
Ralph shrugs. Jack's hunters creep out of the nearby trees and charge them, picking up sticks from the fire. Simon's in the clearing, standing by the pig's head and facing the same way as the pig. He walks off in that direction and starts climbing upwards. At Jack's camp, by the rocks at the far end of the island. A fire burns brightly on the beach, and the boys play freely amongst themselves. Some of them hit wood with sticks. Another shouts in a state of trance, then grins and screams. Most of the boys have painted faces and chests. One, wearing just some rags around his waist, performs a tribal belly dance. Jack sits over them, his chest and face painted with thick white lines, stark against his skin. He and the others all watch as Ralph, Piggy and four other boys approach the camp in the gloom.
Take him some food.
A painted boy gives some to Ralph. They share out some bananas. A few of the boys mess about doing strange little dances. Jack stands up and watches Ralph and Piggy eating.
Who'll join my tribe?
The boys continue dancing, screaming, running around and hitting bits of wood, completely unhindered. The children go wild again.
Come away, there's going to be trouble.
Rain starts to fall, bouncing off the rocks, and a crab climbs up out of the water. White foaming waves crash onto shore over the rocks. Simon has climbed to the top of the hill where the others saw the dead pilot, and stands under a sky of thick grey clouds. He walks forward, looking ahead and down at the ground. The pilot's now lying in a small cavity in the rocks, still harnessed to the parachute, which is laid out above him. Simon stares at the body for a long moment, his expression unchanging, then he backs away again. Nighttime and the fire's roaring at Jack's camp. Some of the boys run around the beach carrying flaming torches. Jack picks one out of the fire and runs down to the water's edge, then flings it out into the sea where it burns for a moment before going out. Sparks and embers shoot up out of the fire. The boys are almost delirious and deranged in their freedom. Jack stares up at the moon. The boys all start chanting, their movements aggressive and intense. Even Ralph's caught up in it as they advance en masse, banging their sticks on the ground. They run around wildly in complete hysteria. One boy hits another's stick rhythmically, another stares into the darkness with intense, savage eyes. The beach is a scene of chaos, the boys' shirtless bodies flitting manically between darkness and the light of the fire. Simon makes his way quickly through the undergrowth towards them, stumbling occasionally.
Bash it in! Kill the bee!
Look! The bee!
The firelight flickers over Simon and the boys charge towards him with their sticks. Simon holds up his hands as they converge on him in a frenzy, plunging their sticks down onto his body. As a group, they drag him down onto the beach and continue their onslaught by the shore. The waves roll in, the shallow frothing water flowing gently over the sand, then ebbing away again. Simon's body floats face up on the sea's surface. Ripples of moonlight reflect on the black water and his glistening skin, until eventually he's washed onto his front and everything fades to blackness. Dots of sparkling light dance over the dark surface. They move with the rise and fall of the water until they too eventually fade to black. Daytime. Piggy's peeing into the bushes back at their camp on the beach. When he's done, he turns around and pulls up his socks so that they meet the bottom of his shorts, covering his skin completely. He steps through the tangled undergrowth onto the beach and walks over the sand to a thick log lying in the sunshine. He steps over it and sits down on it, facing away from the sea and looking at the trees and bushes in front of him. Piggy pulls his glasses aside and wipes his eyes, looking through the good lens as Ralph comes and stands by the tree. Piggy puts his glasses back on and the two boys stare at each other.
Piggy, you're the only one left.
There are some little uns.
They don't count. No big uns.
Oh, Sam and Eric. They're collecting wood.
Nobody else?
Not that I know of.
Ralph goes and sits beside him on the log. Piggy looks away, and Ralph looks down at his hands.
Piggy?
Huh?
That was murder.
You stop it! What good are you doing talking like that? It was dark. There was that bloody dance. There was thunder and lightning and rain. We were scared. It wasn't what you said.
Oh, Piggy!
It was an accident.
Ralph puts his head on his arms, covering his face.
He was batty. He asked for it. It was an accident.
Oh, God, I want to go home.
At the rocks, a boy has been stripped naked and is having his bottom lashed with a thin stick.
Take him away!
He's led away towards a low, dark cave towards the back. Jack watches serenely.
Tomorrow we'll hunt again. Then we'll leave another head for the beast.
His body's still marked with paint.
Some of you
will stay and defend the gate. The beast may try and come in. Remember how he crawled? He came disguised. The beast may try and come, even though we gave him the head of our kill to eat. So watch and be careful.
A boy puts his hand up.
But didn't we...
No. How could we kill it?
Everyone looks around glumly.
He told us the beast was disguised.
Tomorrow, when we get meat, we'll have a feast.
Chief?
Yes, Bill? What'll we use to light the fire? We'll get fire from the others.
Night time.
We've got to get out of this.
What do you mean?
Get rescued. I mean it. If we don't get out of here soon, we'll be balmy.
Round the bend.
Crackers.
Ralph flies back down on the sand.
Have you written a letter to your auntie lately?
I don't know where she is now. And I haven't got an envelope or a stamp. And there isn't a pillar box or a postman. I haven't said anything very funny.
They both look up, alert, and Piggy puts on his glasses.
Piggy!
Don't make a sound.
Get you, Piggy.
The two boys sit together, listening.
Where are you, Piggy? We've come to get you.
No!
Three of Jake's tribe charge in, breaking the camp up. They lash out at the boys, then run off again. They come to a stop further along the shore, and Jack takes Piggy's glasses off one of them and puts them on himself. He playfully chases the other two. Daytime again, and Ralph leads his small group along the shoreline, away from their camp. Piggy follows on behind Ralph. Further back are two boys walking side by side at the water's edge, and further back from them, another two boys walk together. Ralph stops and blows the conch, first in one direction, then another. The boys behind watch and wait. They get back to their clearing by the palm tree. Ralph sits down on the sand while Piggy picks up the conch and goes over to the tree. The others follow, three of them completely naked, and the fourth wearing just rags around his waist.
To say this. I can't see without my glasses, and I got to get them back. What are we going to do?
Some of Jack's tribe are standing on the rocks looking out to sea, war paint over their face and bodies, when they spot Ralph walking along the beach towards them with Piggy and the twins. Jack and his boys rush out. Roger looks down from the cliff top.
Hey! Who goes there?
Stop being silly! You can see who I am!
More of Jack's tribe gather on the cliff top and look down at them. Ralph stands on the rocks below, blowing his conch. Roger pelts him with small pebbles. Jack watches as Piggy holds onto the rock.
Don't leave me, Ralph!
Above them, Roger puts the end of his stick under a loose boulder.
What do you want? Go away, Ralph. You keep to your end. This is my end and my tribe. You have to leave me alone.
You took Piggy's specs. You've got to give them back.
Got to? Who says?
I say. That was a dirty trick. We would have given you fire if you asked for it, but you didn't. Then sneaking up like a thief.
Say that again.
Thief.
Thief. Who's a thief?
You are. Out there, or a plane!
Jack yanks his stick from Ralph again and looks down at the twins.
Grab them! Jack! Tie them up!
One boy grabs them.
See? They do what I want.
You're a beast and a swine and a bloody thief!
Jack and Ralph stare at each other, then start fighting again, to the tribe's amusement. They cheer from the top of the cliff as the two leaders fight over the stick. Piggy, stranded where he is, squints upwards as the waves crash over the rocks below him, then gets to his feet, still holding the conch.
Let me speak! I've got the conch!
Up on the cliff top, Roger puts a hand on his stick that's wedged under the loose boulder. The other boys continue to taunt Piggy.
Which is it better to be? A pack of painted savages like you are? Or sensible like Ralphie? Which is better, to have rules and degree or to hunt and kill?
Roger summons all his strength and pushes down on the stick. The huge rock tumbles down the cliff face towards Piggy. Everyone looks down in silent shock. Even Jack freezes. His eyes widen in fear, and his mouth opens and closes wordlessly. The boys on the cliff top stand in a V-shaped crevice. Roger, separated from them, looks down with a grimacing sense of realization. Ralph stands on the rock above Piggy. He watches as Piggy's body is washed out to sea by the large foaming waves that break over it. He turns to look up at the others, then runs away. In the softer light of dusk, the twins are standing guard on the cliff top. Ralph creeps slowly through the thick vegetation below them. He crouches down behind the trunk of a tree and watches them.
Sam and Eric! Hey! Sam and Eric! It's me, Ralph!
He runs closer to them.
When they find me, what are they going to do?
Roger sharpened his stick at both ends. They're going to hurt you tomorrow. We've got to give signals like this. Only louder, of course. You've got to go now, Ralph.
Won't you come with me? Three of us would have a better chance.
Quick, Ralph!
I'll be in that thicket there. They won't think to look so close.
Who is it? Who's there?
Attention!
Eric, it's Roger. Here, take this.
He gives Ralph a piece of food, and Ralph retreats into the bushes with it. Ralph crouches in the shadows, eating and listening. Night falls. In the morning, Ralph wakes in the same spot and listens.
Come here. Got Piggy's specs. I'll start a fire. Must be in here. Somewhere. You go around that way. I'll smoke him out.
He sits up fearfully. Ralph looks up through the twitching plant fronds with wide, hunted eyes, then makes a run for it.
I told you, he's dangerous.
He scrambles through the undergrowth, bent over and pushing plants aside. The ground's covered with fallen palm fronds, and he hurries over them barefoot. He stops behind a rock to catch his breath. Muddied and with his filthy shirt torn across his back, he runs on again. But suddenly thick white smoke fills the air and he's forced back the way he came. Ralph escapes the smoke and runs through the thick sun-dappled foliage again, then stops and crouches down to listen. He hurries on again, but trips and rolls down a short bank, landing upside down. He quickly gets to his feet and runs on. Ralph looks around wildly, then takes shelter amongst some thin tree trunks. He looks around him, but there's nothing but thick jungle. Then the smoke begins to drift over him again, and he stands up and runs. Now the smoke is everywhere, and he's slowed to a trudging walk, pushing plants aside and struggling to press on. He veers off and starts running again, away from the sound of the hunters. Ralph disappears into the thick white smoke, then runs down an overgrown embankment into a clearing where he pauses briefly by a tree to catch his breath. A flurry of dense leaves and branches and white smoke as Ralph tries one direction, then another. Suddenly, he stumbles out onto the beach. Ralph scrambles desperately, half running, half on his hands and knees, over plants on the sand. His flight becomes ever more frantic and desperate, until suddenly he stops dead in front of a pair of white shoes and knee-length white socks. Ralph's gaze travels up tanned legs, pristine white shorts, and hands resting on the hips of a slim man's waist. Binoculars hang down over his crisp white shirt, and his face is neatly bearded. The man wears a naval officer's cap and stares down at Ralph in astonishment. Jack's tribe come running out of the burning bush, flames licking around the trees and smoke filling the air. They too stop and stare, equally shocked. One small, wild, painted boy steps forward, right up to the officer, looks up into his face and prods him tentatively, as if to make sure he's real. The tall man continues to stand with his hands on his hips as the boy's dumbstruck lips move slowly but are unable to form words. Eventually, the officer ruffles the boy's hair reassuringly and walks on, leaving him to stand alone and small again. Jack, although painted and with a fire raging behind him, also seems to become just a boy again. The officer walks down to the shore where a rowing boat and four other sailors are waiting and talks to his colleague. Ragged and dirt-smeared, Ralph steps forward and watches them with dull, sad eyes, smoke drifting around him. Two young sailors look back at the boys with curiosity and confusion. A tear trickles from Ralph's eye, leaving a clear track on his muddy face. He lowers his head and cries. Behind him, smoke billows from the raging bushfire.